Hello, welcome to Killer Cross Space. This is episode 6. This should be the final episode on the Ed Gein story. Like, I do have another episode lined up after this one that will branch off of him. It's not a story about him, it's just he'll be mentioned in it. So that kind of gives you, you know, a little hint of what it's going to be about. Going back to part two, you know, he's still kind of saying he's hazy on the whole killing Bernice and Mary and all that. Well, the rest of this kind of goes and he remembers more. Talks about burying Bernice's blood, Jodikoff's the area. He said he doesn't remember burying Mary on the property, like the remains he didn't use, because he said he'd done some of that. Or he burned the pieces he didn't use. On a lot of detector tests, he mentioned killing Bernice and Mary. He claims still that he did not kill the two little girls and that guy they mentioned. There was a pink mask found in his truck along with gloves, rubber gloves and a bag. He said there should have been a white one, but it wasn't found for some reason. He said they were just used for Halloween, which I guess it could be, but I'm kind of wondering if they kind of think that he used them maybe to kidnap a kid or something like that. Very possibility. But he did say he used the gloves to dig up the bodies. So you do have that. And part of the confession, going back to Bernice, he actually remembers loading the gun. Like, he asked to use it, and then he, I guess, kind of say it was a spur of the moment type of thing. Like, he loaded the gun and then all that. Well, he later goes on to say, you know, where they said about the whole resemblance and stuff of his mom, maybe that's why he killed Bernice. Well, he ends up going on to say about the story of where this guy basically was with this lady, well, I should say girl, and he kind of portrays it off that, like, Bernice stole the guy from that girl, and he kind of says there was hatred that was developed possibly because of that, which it just to me sounds like he took it too personal, which his mom kind of did belittle women besides herself, and you know, she belittled men and all that. That's why, you know, he was raised really awkward. So it kind of makes me wonder more about it. You know, did he just kind of seemed like he was doing work, you know, kind of for his mom, maybe. Very possibility, maybe not. They go on and talks about some of the masks, if you remember correctly. Some of them were complete. He said the moth actually ate some of the faces, so that's why they are incomplete. He claims he used a hacksaw to remove the top of the skulls. Talk about a wastebasket that he used that was women's skin. Well, of course it was women's skin, but it was a thigh. He believes it came from a grave. And one part, he talks about a dress being a girl's, well, family he knew. He took her and her sister to get their mom. But then later on, he talks about another pink dress that was found. He's talked about they gave it to him so he could wipe his hands. I don't know if that's the same dress or not. So, well, they end up going on. They talk about some of the criminal clippings that were found, which, you know, this, you know, is a true crime podcast. You guys are listening to it. You know, like, I guess back in the 50s, maybe it's questionable, but a lot of people, you know, do a lot with true crime related material. It's big, you know, even if you don't have an interest really in it, you still read articles about it. I don't know about saving them, but you're still, especially things that hit close to home, you know, people does that kind of thing. Then he claims that he wanted to be a doctor, policeman, investigator, which a lot of, you know, boys' dreams are like that when they're young. He didn't remember holding Bernice's body still to remove her head, but he does talk about that he kind of did, you know, kind of remember it later on. that he would, like, hold her with, like, bolts or something, and then it would drop her neck.
Yeah.
It's kind of graphic and detailed. This part I'm going to read that I really thought was really interesting, because a lot of people thought that he had sex with the bodies, and I've always kind of wondered, did he actually have sex with them? Like, I've not read this confession before. I think I remember saying that in part two. And I know they said that he claimed he never did, but in this part, he actually goes in a little detail with it, and I will read that to you. Okay. He goes off by the detective saying, "That's right. Do you recall attempting to or actually having intercourse with Bernice after you brought her home from her place?" "I believe I did try, but without success." "Did you have an erection?" "Remember my definition or explanation of an erection, where your penis gets hard." "I doubt if it was complete." You know, this kind of focuses on Bernice, but you kind of wonder maybe with some of the bodies he dug up. Hopefully not. Like I said, he still claims he didn't, but maybe with Bernice, you know, he just did kill her and all that. So that's the only thing I could think of. I just thought that was really out there, though. I know he was saying he wasn't successful because it wasn't on his mind. And he don't remember masturbating after the fact either. And he believes he did not try at all with Mary. Whether he did, whether he didn't, don't know. This has always been brought up, which in the next episode, if I remember, I should probably talk about it, because I think I wrote it down in my notes. This will be mentioned in this next case that I'm talking about, too. But Ed Gein, I know one movie that had Kane Hodder playing as him, The Butcher Plainfield, they had him with an accomplice. He said nobody ever helped him. I know there has been belief that somebody did. So, like I said, I'll bring that up, like, in the next episode, where I focus on a case that he's tied into, which, like I said, you kind of know what it's going to be about. Whether he did have an accomplice, whether he didn't, I would assume he didn't, which, if he did, you know, they're not going to say nothing, even back then, because they would have got arrested as well. And later on, you know, after they go through all that, they start talking about the vagina, one of them that they found, he had painted it. I think if I remember, it was silver paint. But he said he'd done this to help it from decaying. So that's kind of disturbing. I always kind of wondered, I actually thought he did use the skulls for bowls. Because, you know, why else cut them in half, you know, the tops out, because it would be a bowl. But he said he never used his skulls for a bowl. So, there you go. Now, this next part I'm going to read, this is when they go back into his whole brother. I'm sorry that this kind of jumps around in my notes. Like I said, there were 6 different lengths of this. And they were in order from how I got them, but I don't know if they were in the original order, because a lot of it jumped around, which I know some of the detectives, when they do, you know, interviews like this with possible killers and all that, they jump around and re-ask them stuff to make sure they say the same thing, ask them in different ways and all that. So that's why it kind of jumps around. I apologize for that. But this actually talks about his brother. You know, he still says he didn't kill his brother. I still firmly believe he did, because his brother, you know, was questioning their mom's beliefs. So it goes on to, "We didn't go into this too deeply last time you were here. What did Henry die of? I read in the newspaper something about a fire." "That's right. There was no autopsy performed or anything like that, but it was generally figured that it was kind of a part suffocation. And I see, okay, the detective goes, I see, was he a firefighter with many others? Or how did, no, he wanted to burn a marsh that belonged to him. I didn't want to go, but there's another thing that points to when your time is up, it's up. Because I coaxed him and tried to keep him to the to home because we had that new team that we bought on an auction I wanted to try it out. But he just kept at me until I took him there. Like I said, if you remember in episode, let's see, what was it, 2 that I done on him, well, the first part, you know, he was found, you know, it didn't really look like he had anything that dealt with a fire, so that's why I still kind of think Ed Gein killed his brother by hitting him over the head with something, whether it be a shovel or what, I don't know. I know in the Light of the Moon movie, which I think they actually have him killing his brother in that. Like I said, it's very speculated, and I'd put money on it that he did. If he didn't, it would definitely surprise me. Well, I'm going to bring up the mask again, the one that, like I said, goes back to it with the pink and the white one he talked about. Which just kind of will tie in, maybe, to the next episode. So, like I said, I kind of wondered with the whole mask, like the kidnapping of somebody or using it for something of that nature. Well, some felt that he did use them because he was a Peeping Tom. Maybe, maybe not. Like, you know, he dug up dead bodies and he killed 2 older ladies that resembled his mother. Maybe he could have been a Peeping Tom on maybe other women that he saw that resembled his mother. Like I said, he was just more resembled his mother he went after. Like that's all his mind worked with, it seemed. So, like I said, the next case I talk about, I'll go ahead and tell you. It's going to be about one of the girls that disappeared that he's, you know, suspected of. So, remember the mask and the Peeping Tom, and remember, you know, the accomplice that I talked about. Because I will mention it in the next episode on that case. Like I said, the case won't be about him. It'll just be him mentioned in it, in the part where he was a suspect of it. Okay, this is where he talks about the that Dick Travis, which I guess his name would be Richard Travis. This is where it goes. Miss Dingles claims that shortly after the appearance of Dick Travis, you met her in front of Warden's store and told her that you put Dick either in the car or the trunk. Or the truck. She's wrong. What reason would she have to say that about you? Either she had heard somebody else say that, she's mistaken and got it mixed up with me, or I doubt that she'd do that. I doubt that she'd do that on purpose. She'd have no reason to hate me or me her. Is she an elderly woman? Do you think she has a vivid imagination? Well, I judge her in the 30s, maybe 40s. That could be wrong. I can't understand that, why she'd say that about me. Well, people sometimes like to take advantage of a situation. Did he really say that? I don't know. You know, I wasn't living back there. That's the only time I've found anything on that. Which, if you go to, like, a lot of things now, which it's always probably been like that in history, when something happens tragically, I've noticed a lot of people will kind of put themselves there, you know what I mean? Like they try to be, which sometimes, you know, if it hits close to home, like if you're friends with them, you know, family member, you know, if it actually hits in your doorstep, yeah, you know, you were a part of it. But if it's like some stranger out in the streets, it's all, for an example, there was this celebrity, you know, the whole Charles Manson dying and all that. They mentioned, I forgot what celebrity it was, but he's, the article like started off like he got in the he was arm's length away from Charles Manson. You know, he could have died and got killed by him. You know, like, reading the article, he went to the ranch on a horse with his brother. You know, he was a kid. Dumbest thing ever, like, they just said, there's Charlie or whatever, and then they went by or whatever, and they might, he believes that might have been Charles Manson standing there when he rode by on the horse. Did not say nothing about Charles Manson killing, trying to kill him or anything like that. But see, Charles Manson dies, you know, he's got the big name, and that dude just threw himself out there to be kind of a part. So is that what this woman done, was just pretty much say, hey, he told me this, even though he didn't. She just wanted to get kind of her name in his case. So, you know, this was in the 1950s. You know, we're going to 2017, almost 2018. And here I am talking about her. Her name's in the story. Is that what she wanted, to be tied in, to be like, hey, maybe there's something there? Who knows? Like I said, he still goes on. They ask him more about the Mary Hogan, attempted sex with her. He says he didn't. He might have still tried, like with Bernice. Who knows? Another thing that caught my interest in all of this. The lie detector test. This is where the detective says, now, Eddie, this is where I ask you, is your first name Eddie and is your last name Gein? Have you taken the life of one living person? Yes. Have you taken the life of two living persons? Yes. Then I ask you, have you taken the life of three living persons? And it doesn't begin to come down to ask, have you taken the life of four living persons? Leaves one question at this time, is there any remote possibility that there is more than two? No. You're sure in your own mind. That's right. Because then I ask you, have you lied to any of the questions on this test? And there is a reaction there. That, I guess, is, I noticed, I think it was twice, I noticed that myself, my nervous system, that's probably what showed on there. That so kind of makes you wonder about some of the other cases that I've talked about that he has been a suspect for. You know, I know lie detector tests, I know now, like, they don't hold up in court or anything like that, so you do have that. Sorry, I had to get a drink of water. Excuse me. So, can you hold that reliable? But basically, his nervous system was going up, and it reacted to that, to when he's asking about more than one body that he, well, one, two more people that he killed. You know, we know he killed Mary and Bernice. Did he actually have something to do, what was it, with Evelyn Hartley, Mary Jean Winkler, and Dick Travis? But there could be more that he, you know, was a suspect of. So I think they said they had a lot of ones that were pouring in. So that kind of really out there on that. Which I don't see him killing a little girl. Well, Evelyn was 15. Mary Winkler, I can't remember if I said how old she was. Like, I don't see him doing it. Because it just don't fit his thing. But I guess maybe if it was spur of the moment type thing, maybe. This next part I'm going to read, this is later on in the whole... Okay, this whole next part, sorry, I had to pause it for a minute. This whole next part goes on to how he got the bodies out of the grave. See, that's why they kind of thought accomplice, I believe, was involved. I'm not, you know, they always say a dead body, you know, dead weight, like it weighs more than a living person. So, I guess it's where, you know, living people more limp than all the, yeah. But they go on to ask him, do you recall in any of the instances, Eddie, where when you remove the bodies from a grave, would you open the entire casket or just one of the halves? As a rule, I believe it's half and slip them out. That's right. That would mean you wouldn't have to dig a large hole. That's right. Which, that is, you know, a good thing, I guess, if you look at it. You know, he was smart, which that kind of... He says, you know, he claimed he didn't know right from wrong until he started being interviewed, but he dug a small hole, so he wouldn't have to dig a big hole. So that means he lowered, you know, the amount of time to do all this. He knew what he was doing. And in some parts, I believe he knew what he was doing. But going back, you know, was there any difficulty in moving these corpses? Well, I'd say fairly difficult, but would you drag them, or were you able to carry them like a piece of timber? Yes, the lighter ones. The lighter ones you'd carry like timber over your shoulder. That's right. And the others, what would you do? Carry them in my arms this way, or kind of hold? Did anyone ever surprise you close enough to cause you to become apprehensive or frightened that they saw what you were doing? No, I doubt that anybody saw what I was doing. Now that you mention it, a car did come through the cemetery once when I was there, but whether they were just lovers or whatever they were, did you hide? I believe I was right down the grave. They went by and they kept right on going. That's the only time. Could you imagine, you know, if he would have been caught then? Poof. That would have been... I know, I want to say it was in the Light of the Moon, which I think it's just called Gee now. They do that. Whereas I think they're actually sitting on a bench, though, not actually driving by. So you're looking at, he digs half, raises the casket, slides him out, lighter ones he carries on his shoulder. Which, you know, Gene wasn't a big guy. But back in that time, yeah, you know, most men, you know, even if they weren't big, you know, they were stocky. You know, they don't mean that they were just, you know, fat or something. They were just stocky, muscular, because they actually worked on the farm, you know. And he seemed to do a lot of that, since he was a handyman. Okay. This where it kind of got... No, I wouldn't really say creepy or disturbing, but it kind of... kind of goes with, like, the Bernice thing with her, you know, taking the possibly the guy away from that girl and all that, like, stealing and all that. This kind of goes with that. Well, he mentions the first body he ever dug up. He said that her son borrowed $10 from him, and he felt he lied about the reason. So he's kind of saying revenge is why he done it, because the boy never paid him back. You know, that's like unique. You know, you're like, well, you know, I gave him money, he didn't pay me back, I think he lied about why he took it, I'm just gonna go dig up his mother and, you know, make a chair out of her skin or something like that. That's really unique. I'm not, you know, laughing at it, you know, over that. It's just, I just find it kind of crazy, you know, if hopefully that wasn't the reason he dug her up. If it is, that is pretty twisted, and I guess you could say creepy, but it is twisted, you know, be like, ah, I'm going to get back at somebody over that. Whether that was the reason or not, yeah. I don't know if that boy, I'm assuming that boy found out, you know, eventually, which hopefully, if he did, if he borrowed anybody's money anymore, he returned it and paid him back. Or if not, they might have dug up his father. You never know. Okay. Going on later on, they ask about Mary. I don't think he kept, like, her full, like, torso area. I think he just kept her breast. But he said he'd done that to remember her with. Like, why would he want to remember, you know, when he said he was in a hazy daze and all this. So, like, why would he want to keep her breast? I guess you could be like, that's why I'm kind of wondering on. Which I guess he could, you know, want to keep him for that. Still had some tension, though, answering some of the questions. The detective felt that some of it was due to the fact that he was trying too hard to, you know, work with him. I guess in a way you could see that, but I don't know. It still kind of makes you question a lot of it, or what else he was involved with. And one thing they mentioned that he laughed when they mentioned about 20 people, referring to 20 victims. But he said it was a gasp. He said he was listening too hard, he forgot to breathe. They still claim the tension is getting to him throughout this. Are they referring to like 20 people that he murdered? I don't think. I think it maybe it's be, well, it could be, but I kind of wonder if it's just, you know, yeah, he dug up like 10 bodies, killed two, you know, he's suspect for more. You know, are they including the victims that he dug up or what? That's what I'm assuming. But that will wrap up this episode. I thank you for listening to this episode, and like I said, next episode will be somewhat linked to Ed Gein, and like I said, it'll be with one of the people he suspected in kidnapping. It's very cool being able to, you know, branch off of this with him. But I don't want, I guess cool could be a an okay term, I guess, for it. But I like being able to, you know, find something, research it, and then be able to come off of it and just branch off of it into other things. That's what I like about research. You find one thing, leads to another, and they all kind of connect. That's what I like about it. Like I said, thank you, though, for tuning in. I'll try to have, let's see, I got that episode. I got another episode researched. So I have two episodes I just have to record, getting that all the research has been done for. And I'll try to have, possibly, they should be out hopefully before Christmas. And see, if you want to follow me, I have a Facebook page, Killer's Crawl Space. I have a discussion group. Just message me, and I can add you to it. I got a Patreon site if you'd like to support the podcast and help me, you know, be able to do stuff more for this podcast for everyone. And like I said, I'm kind of still interested in doing some cool things with it, you know, with going to like locations and stuff, which most of them will be probably around my area and research and stuff like that. Because, like, I like to travel, but I have a family, so I can't travel like far, far away. So, and like I said, I could do some paranormal stuff with it if I do stuff like that. Which I got some like cemeteries I could go to around locally where like people's been buried at, kind of give their story. That, you know, from what I've read and researched. But like I said, thank you for checking in and tuning in on this episode, and I guess we'll see you next episode.